Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rise and Fall of LuLaRoe. I'm your host, Stephanie McNeil, and I'm a senior culture reporter at BuzzFeed News. In this podcast, we are diving deep into the world of LuLaRoe. We speak with retailers whose lives were turned upside down. We also talk to experts who can shed light on how these MLMs really work, including the red flags you should keep an eye out for. This week, I'm talking to cult expert Stephen Hassan about the psychology behind MLMs and how MLMs can apply cult tactics with recruiting and sustaining members. Hassan is a cult expert and founder of the Freedom of Mind Resource Center, which helps people leave cults and recover from them. Let's get into it. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. I am so excited to talk to you about all things cults and multi-level marketing.
Pleasure.
So we are really excited to kind of dig into the psychology behind LuLaRoe and other MLMs like it. And I'm so excited to have you on because you have such a great background and depth of knowledge in this subject. So for those listeners who might not know, you've been speaking on cults and mind control for a long time. You founded an organization called the Freedom of Mind Resource Center, which is focused on this topic. Can you explain how did you get involved in studying cults and mind control?
Well, as many listeners might guess, I actually had a cult experience back in the 70s. I was a college student and my girlfriend dumped me and I was sitting in the student union at Queens College and three moony recruiters pretending just to be students flirted with me, and that began my odyssey into a right-wing fascist cult, which I spent over 2 years. I became fanatical. I dropped out of college and cut off from my family and friends because they were critical of my involvement and said I was brainwashed. And due to a falling asleep, due to sleep deprivation and a near-fatal van crash, I surfaced, and my sister lured me to her house to see my nephew who had been born, and they did a deprogramming. And by the end of the 5 days, I realized I had been brainwashed. And I was so embarrassed and so ashamed and so confused and so depressed and so hurt that I just wanted to understand what happened to me. But I never expected to be doing this work 45 years later. But here I am because the problem is so huge. And the age we're living in right now is mind control on steroids through the internet. And everybody needs to understand this material to protect themselves, protect society, protect their family and friends.
What a fascinating story. And I think it's so great that you were able to take this troubling experience that you had and turn around and really become an expert and help others. So what is the connection between cults and mind control and their tactics and MLMs? I know you've called MLMs commercial cults. So what do you mean by that?
MLMs, I call a commercial cult because people tend to join them or get involved because they think they're going to make a lot of money. So there's the monetary thing. But I also want to state categorically that trafficking, sex trafficking, as well as labor trafficking, is also a commercial cult. And where those lines become very clear with destructive cultism or authoritarian cultism is in four overlapping criteria, which I refer to as the BITE model of authoritarian control. And the B of BITE stands for behavior control, I stands for information control, The T stands for thought control and the E stands for emotional control. But just to give your listeners a gist, for example, if a group is controlling sleep and saying you need to sleep less or having all-night meetings, this is a big red flag for a mind control or unhealthy cult. If a group is setting out very rigid rules and recommendations on what you wear, what you eat, who you associate with. So you can go down the entire list of behavior control mechanisms, but the theme of all behavior control is obedience, instilling dependency and obedience.
What are some of the main similarities that you see with MLMs and what people traditionally think of cults? Because I think when we talk about this compare and contrast, a lot of times people say things like, how is an MLM a cult? Because, you know, they're thinking of these very famous religious cults. But then when you actually get down to the nuts and bolts, there are a lot of interesting similarities between the tactics used in both.
If you're in a mind control cult, you're taught that you're chosen, you're special, and that everyone else is in darkness, depending on what type of cult it is. It might have religious overtures like Satan is out there. And I know that the founders are Mormons, so we can talk about religion to a certain extent when we're talking about this particular group, right? But so, for example, when you have that kind of black and white, all or nothing, us versus them mentality that I put under thought control, and then if you're told, don't talk to ex-members or critics, they're dream stealers, or they're out to destroy you, or they want to suck you back into the world of J-O-B-S's, you know, jobs, that evil thing, etc. So they encourage people to do information control and only read and listen to and spend your time with what the cult wants you to listen to. But this kind of information control is not healthy at all. And that's a very dramatic example of MLM mind control, is not only the deception that you're going to make a ton of money when in fact most people, over 99%, lose money, but all these other things are going to happen as well. And my whole approach is just educational and empowering people to figure out for themselves if this group is serving them and what they thought they wanted to get involved with, and to educate them about social psychology knowledge, as well as teach them about other groups, because it's always easier to see it in another group than the one that you're in.
What parts of the BITE model that you mentioned do you really see shining through in the ways that MLMs like LuLaRoe recruit people?
Well, the deceptive recruitment, obviously, and deception isn't just outright lying, but it's withholding vital information, like pretending that you have a very expensive car when you don't, or pretending you have an expensive watch when it's a knockoff. Those types and those misrepresentations of how much money you can make for how much time, that is a huge red flag. And I want your listeners to understand, you know, if something is legitimate, it will stand up to scrutiny. So you want to ask questions, very direct questions, and you don't want to just depend on the recruiter for information. You want to talk to critics and former members. So the deception and the information control is absolutely huge. There's also this dream that all cult members, destructive cult members, are given, and they're different dreams for different cults, but the idea that you're going to be so happy and so fulfilled by doing this. So you create this fantasy in your head and then self-regulate to get rid of any negatives that are in there, to have fears that if they give up the dream, terrible things are going to happen to them. They're going to be a failure. You know, their husband will never love them. Their children will never respect them. The planet is going to fall apart. If a group is healthy and you're in it and you're not happy, or you're spending more time than you want to spend, or you're not making the money, you say bye and it's no sweat. and there's no worry and there's no pressure coming at you from the members, or shunning, which is another destructive mind control technique of your best friend. All of a sudden, now you're a turncoat because you're no longer involved with the group.
I love what you said about normal businesses can stand up to scrutiny. They might not be happy to have a bad press release out there, but they won't completely fold under. That's probably a bad sign. You know, I think a lot of people who join an MLM like LuLaRoe, they don't know a lot about this stuff and they don't really realize what's happening until it's too late. So what are some things that people can do if they're being recruited on Facebook by a friend from high school to join a group? What are some smart questions they can ask or Google to get a better sense of if the business is legitimate or not?
I recommend strongly that you have a circle of trustworthy friends who don't share all your religious views, who don't share all your political views, what we call contrarians, people who will poke you. Hey, Stephanie, you said you did this, and now I'm seeing that. Like, what's up? But if they're friends and they have your best interests, you know, you're going to want to hear what they have to say, right? So that said, once you have a network, a trust pod is a term that I like to refer to it. Use your common sense. And if something sounds too good to be true, then assume that it is too good to be true. And then ask the hard questions. Is this a pyramid scheme or a multi-level marketing group? Because I get pitched by people, sometimes even from former clients who should know better. Steve, can I get a half an hour of your time? I have this wonderful business opportunity I want to share with you. Business opportunity? What's the name? Oh, I'll tell you when I see you. No, I want to know the name now. So now I'm demonstrating for your listeners. You want to ask direct questions, and if you get an evasive answer or switch the subject or turn it around on me, Steve, don't you trust me? We've known each other our whole life. It's like, no, I want to know what you're selling and whether it's something, you know, objectively something that I might be interested in.
So just so people get a really good sense of what it would be like to be recruited into an MLM, I was wondering if you had any experience or ideas of things that people might say to you, almost like a role-playing thing, if they were trying to recruit you into an MLM. Like, in your experience, what would our listeners hear from someone trying to recruit them into an MLM that should raise their heckles a little bit?
So it all depends on who's recruiting you. If it's someone you know, you're going to be more susceptible to their pressure and they'll know you better. So they'll know what buttons to press. But not saying up front what the name of the group is, but talking generally about a business opportunity, or, you know, you could be making a lot more money with your time and that sort of thing. Flashing jewelry, mentioning their car and how they're, you know, going to their yacht, you know, to go fishing, you know, maybe sometime you can come along. It's like, this is not in the realm of normal. And then the whole notion of incremental disclosure is something that I want people to understand. So, you know, if I say to somebody, it sounds like you have something you want to share with me, I'll give you 3 minutes. Give me the most essential things in 3 minutes. And then they'll say, oh, I can't do that. It's much too much to share. And I'm like, well, bye. If you can't summarize in 3 minutes, then I'm not interested. That's a really good, effective thing. Also, there's a trust thing that you tend to be more susceptible to influence the people that you identify with, people that you like, people that you share a religious faith with. So I would just say anything that if you're a religious person that smacks of deception is automatically bad. Like, just understand that, you know, God doesn't need to lie. okay?
Absolutely.
But then if you do the numbers, and this is another thing to ask, by the way, a recruiter, show me your IRS forms for the last 3 years, and then I'll believe you that you've made all this money, because they will never share their tax returns. Never, ever.
And I think, too, if you're joining a company and you're so suspicious that you want to ask for the tax return, that probably is another red flag, I got to say.
Yeah, but again, I want to give the benefit of the doubt. But if you're suspecting it's an MLM and people are pitching you how much money they're making every year because they got involved, prove it.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So obviously, getting someone recruited into an MLM is just the beginning. Once they are in the MLM, there are all of these other tactics that are done to keep them under control and prop up the scheme. So what are some tactics that you've seen MLM use to keep people in their orbit and kind of believing their hype?
This is a bigger subject, but I'll name it for the purposes of this interview. And that is the internet and smartphones. And then the pandemic on top of it has created a perfect storm. We're being bombarded by information. And if there are bad actors, cults, have resources, they can literally buy your profile on the dark web and know 5,000 data points on what you're interested in, what you're not interested in, what political party you're affiliated with, what your favorite food is, etc. So they can already orchestrate with AI assistance what are the likely kinds of messages that's going to affect Stephanie to get to that next step, to the next commitment, to the next commitment, and to the next commitment. And the greed of, if I just get a big downline, I'll make money. So it's done to you, and then you do it to other people. I call it the victim-victimizer model. You know, that's another feature of great concern. I guess what I want to say to people, when you're in a situationally vulnerable moment in your life, and all humans have these, like death of a loved one, divorce, graduation, losing a job, moving to a new city, state, or country, leaving out traumas like sexual assault or, you know, addictions and other things like that. When things are happening like that in your life, that's the time where you have to be extra special careful for yourself and your friends and your trust pod to make sure you're not committing to anything without a really thorough investigation.
once people are in an MLM, what are some psychological tactics that the leaders of MLMs use to make them feel like they aren't just in a business, they are in something much greater?
There's a whole area in the E of the BITE model, emotional control. There's this force with cult leaders, often described as charisma, that's actually learnable. And there are people teaching how to be effective and how to be powerful, how to control the room you're in. And there's really a lot to it, including how you hold your posture and where you are in the actual spatial outlines of the room and how you make eye contact, the extended handshake. That's a whole nother part of this phenomenon, which refers to hypnosis. And I don't mean the stage hypnotist stuff where they make people cluck like chickens. I'm talking a much more sophisticated, process-oriented, what's often referred to as NLP or neuro-linguistic programming type techniques, like mirroring your breathing or using the words that you use back on you to motivate you to buy or to get involved, etc. So there's all these powerful influence techniques that leaders learn, many of them on courses or on videos or in books, but they want to encourage awe and fervor. But there's this emotional dysregulation that happens when we have awe. And a lot of these cults, especially MLMs, they have these conventions and they hire famous people who don't even believe in the product, but they pay them a lot of money. But it gives the illusion of support for the thing. And the testimonials and the music and the temperature, everything is regulated for maximum effect. So the most powerful control a cult leader can have is over someone's imagination. And if you can get people to identify with you and project their goodness onto you, they'll follow you anywhere.
Is that kind of what you would call love bombing? That's something that I've heard some people mention.
So it's love projection. Love bombing is more of a group process to make you feel overwhelmed and special. Oh, Stephanie, you're so wonderful. You're so smart and you're so attractive and you're so accomplished and this and that. But it's done as a group. Online, it's called swarming. And the swarm around you of welcome to the family. You know, you're going to be so glad you've done this, but it's often bots. It's not even real people. And the way destructive cults like to recruit people too, especially online, is they like to put somebody in that person's circle pretending to be a newbie like them with doubts so that when they say, I'm going to commit, I'm going, you're going to join me too, the person's much more likely to follow that person.
Wow, that's fascinating. So I think a lot of people, when they first start seeing the red flags in their MLM, it's really hard for them to imagine leaving because at this point, their job and their MLM has become so much of their life and their identity. So what are some advice you would have to someone who might be in an MLM and wants to leave but can't imagine their life outside of one?
The good news is there are former members who have excellent websites and YouTube channels where they're putting it out there and they're describing their journey and start listening and learning. Take a time out. You know, people get on this hamster wheel where they're working too many hours. They're not sleeping 8 hours a night, and sleep deprivation is the universal mind control technique, or one of them anyway. And I really encourage people to take a break, turn off the phone, take a few days off, walk in the woods, play with puppies and children and things that make you happy. Listen to your favorite music and dance. But then what I recommend beyond taking the time out is study models of brainwashing and mind control and think back to when you were first approached and were any of these techniques used? And do you remember your first thoughts or feelings at the beginning? You have wisdom inside you and you should listen to yourself. You should be your own best friend. But you also raised a very important point about how we can get stuck because we've invested so much time and energy and money in something that we don't stop. People need to come back to what did they expect? And with MLMs, aside from asking to see the IRS records of your recruiter, I definitely recommend that you make very strong commitments to yourself about what your time frame is and how much money you're willing to put into it before you exit. Many people that I talk to will say, all right, I decided to give it 3 months. And if I'm not making money, then I'm out. Okay, put that in writing. Put it on your refrigerator door. And don't let anyone talk you out of that. That was your line in the sand.
Yeah, I feel like that's one thing is people say, oh, I'm going to only put this much money in. And then they turn around and all of a sudden they put in way more and it's kind of a slippery slope. What are some things that people who spent a significant amount of time in an MLM do going forward in their personal life and their professional life to kind of deprogram themselves from the trauma they endured while under this mind control situation?
Unfortunately, if people get sucked into an MLM, they're often destitute or they're bankrupt. And they may have alienated all their family and friends, hitting them up to join the MLM. And so definitely reaching out to family and friends and apologize. Be prepared to just say, I know that you tried your best to talk me out of this many, many times. I'm so sorry I didn't listen to you. You were right. So a lot of people that I've worked with needed to declare bankruptcy. You know, they lost their marriage because their wife left them or their husband left them. And it's a mess. But basically, you're still alive. You have a long life ahead of you. And you need to take things in small, doable chunks, including sleeping well at night and exercising and eating well and getting employment so you make some money so that you can, you know, have security.
I imagine that when people leave an MLM, they have a lot of feelings of shame and loss around their experience. And I know that some of them completely discount the whole thing as not just a wash, but as a negative stain or trauma on their life. Do you think that there are any silver linings that these MLM victims can take away from their experience so they feel less of that shame?
So yes, the answer is yes. And it's a good question because a lot of people tend to, you know, want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, everything I did in the Moonies or everything I did in my MLM, you know, was a waste of time. But often you learn valuable things. For me, I was an introvert and I was very uncomfortable reading my poetry to a small class of 20 people. But in the Moonies, I was asked to get up and give a talk to 1,000 people extemporaneously. That was a skill I took out with me. I learned how to run a flower business in the group. I took that skill out with me. I learned how to eat sushi in the Moonies in 1974. I still eat sushi. So the thing is everyone should do an honest inventory and any good thing they should own for themselves and not attribute it to the group. They learned it despite the group and use it if it serves their goals.
That's so great because I feel like a lot of people that I've talked to who are in LuLaRoe have such a negative view of their experience. And obviously their experience was negative, but that also leads to a lot of self-negativity and self-hate and self-doubt. And I think that could be really empowering for someone to be like, look, obviously this was a really bad experience, but I learned how to run a business in some ways. I learned things about myself that can kind of reframe that experience and make it not just weigh on them so heavily.
100%. And you brought up another point that I'd like to share, and that is people in their cult identity are indoctrinated to believe there's something wrong with them, as opposed to the leader, the doctrine, or the group. And that might mirror how they were raised. Maybe they were raised in an authoritarian family structure or cultic religious group. So that requires a certain amount of sorting out. But a big part of, you know, effective healing is learning social psychology, which means taking the pressure off yourself of, you know, I'm so stupid. I can't believe I let myself be controlled this way. All this self-flagellation, and put it where it deserves to be, which with the cult and the cult leader who is knowingly defrauding and implementing policies learned from other pyramid scheme, you know, MLM cults, so that they make a lot of money and that they don't take accountability and change the actual structure so that it is supporting people.
Absolutely. It's not their fault. Ultimately, it's a learning experience. One final question for you. A lot of people, maybe some people listening to this right now, they read the LuLaRoe story, they maybe read your story about the Moonies, and they say, oh, I would never get sucked into a cult. I would never join an MLM like LuLaRoe. But it's a lot more people join this kind of stuff than people would think. And it happens to a lot of people from all different backgrounds and all different types of life experiences. So it's not, you know, sometimes it's really out of people's control. So why do you think that it's important that everyone, not just people who might be specifically susceptible to these kind of groups, understand and recognize?
I think everyone's susceptible, Stephanie. I really do. At different times of your life, you're going to be susceptible. It may not be to an MLM. It might be to just a psychopathic narcissist who's flattering you and showering you with gifts. And you want to believe somebody thinks you're the, you know, the greatest person on earth. But I'm part of a group of former members that we're doing a hashtag I Got Out effort in the website igotout.org. And the idea is to destigmatize the fact that human beings can be sucked into lies and manipulated by other people or groups. And life exists after that experience. So kind of like Me Too, hashtag Me Too, that you're not alone, and there's many of us. There are tens of millions of ex-MLMers, if not more, internationally, but people are embarrassed or ashamed, or they haven't done their homework to correctly identify what happened to them, in which case they're going to be susceptible to another destructive authoritarian cult, unfortunately.
Plus, there are a lot of cult-like things in our world right now that maybe people who say, I would never join an MLM or I would never be in a cult, may not even recognize our cult.
That's a truism. When you're in a cult, you think other groups are cults, but not yours. You think other people are brainwashed, but not you.
Well, Stephen, this has been so interesting. Thank you so much for teaching us all about your very important work.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
The Rise and Fall of LuLaRoe is a Discovery Plus podcast. From Discovery, our executive producer is Michael DeSalvo. From BuzzFeed, our executive producer is Carolina Futslaviak. Special thanks to Shelley Sinha at Discovery, Samantha Hennig and Richard Allen Reed at BuzzFeed, and Pete Ross at Left Right. Our show is produced by Neon Hum Media. Jonathan Hirsch and Sharon Morris are the executive producers. Our lead producer is Muna Danish. Associate producer is Rufaro Faith. Our production manager is Samantha Allison. Sound design and engineering from Mark Bush. Our theme music is from Epidemic Sound. See you next week.
Sick of being upsold at gyms? My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.